This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Listen, you got through the week like we got through 9/11.
And a recession.
And the Special K diet.
And the time that James Franco hosted the Oscars.
And Ben Platt's wig and Dear Evan Hansen.
TGIF.
Hello, I am Donnie and I am the cute one.
And I am Chelsea and I am the cute one.
TGIF, cuties, and I am... So sorry. I can't wait any longer. Chelsea.
Yes. Yes, Donnie.
This wig work today, it looks like they found you in the woods. Did you ever see that Jessica Chastain movie, Mama, where those little girls are like feral in the woods? That's what you look like.
You know, we were talking before we started recording. My wigs have seen better days. I really feel like I'm at a crossroads right now, uh-huh. Much like Britney Spears in that film. My wigs, I'm going to have to invest in some new ones, I think. Because this, if you recall, back in the day when we made that TikTok announcing we were doing a Mary-Kate and Ashley podcast where we were twins, this was our Mary-Kate and Ashley wig. And I swear, it did not used to look like
that. That's what that is?
Yes.
You could have paid me and put a G-U-N to my head, and I would have never guessed that that's what wig it was.
Well, I would never put a G-U-N to your head because I don't believe in G-U-Ns, but I would kill you with my bare hands.
Okay, fair enough.
Do we have to start saying things like unalive you because we're on YouTube now?
Maybe. I saw a book summary that said unalive. It's about two serial killers that fall in love and then like try to outdo each other in serial killing, and it said like two unalivers meet. I'm like, I can't.
We've gone too far. We've strayed too far from God's light. God was unaliving people all the time in the Bible.
You're right, for fun. As a little
just for
test.
Sport. Yeah. As a little test. Job, fuck your son.
Make America God again. That's what if God did it, so can we. Cut a baby in half.
These are little teaser jokes for Monday's episode coming out, because every single week we grow closer and closer to becoming a Republican Christian podcast. So this is really in line. So if you want to see the wig, if you want to see the look that Donnie said is inspired by a woman in a ditch, go over to our YouTube channel. So you can listen to this full episode, or all of our Friday episodes are available on the YouTube page. And make sure you hit subscribe. Even if you're not a YouTube girly, clicking that subscribe button helps us, because we have to get to a certain number before we unlock a key to some algorithm palace somewhere, etc.
Yeah, so help us find the key.
Mm-hmm. Be our Mario, and we're Princess Peach trapped in the tower. I was her for Halloween one year, but we did Mario Kart, so we all went out to the bars with three balloons. And then some asshole came up to me and popped my balloon, and there's a photo of that exact moment. And I'm so drunk, I'm holding two beers. I have somehow, my lipstick had gotten smeared across my nose, and I am looking at him like he unalived my favorite animal.
Wait, does it only take three balloons full to hold up a cardboard box?
No, we didn't have a cardboard box. We just dressed in costumes and had three balloons like tied to our backs.
What's the balloons for?
The Mario Kart, but we didn't want to have a big cardboard box at the bars. I was already wearing a child's princess costume.
No, I understand that. I need to focus on the balloon.
The balloons were Mario Kart.
How?
Because in Mario Kart, those are your lives.
Okay, so they were your lives. They were not the cart. No, that's where I was confused.
Oh, no. We were Mario Kart. Like, we were right. All the people in Mario Kart.
But with no cars.
But we had the balloons.
Okay. But I thought that you had three balloons full of helium to hold the box up so you didn't have to carry it around. And that's why I was confused. How many balloons does it take to hold up a cardboard box?
I see. No, those were our lives. So, yes, the full costume should have been we created a cardboard box. We had the lives. I wouldn't have made the balloons hold up the box. I probably would have done a suspenders situation.
That's because you don't think all the way through. Why have suspenders if you can just have balloons do the work for you? You have to think smarter, not harder, Chelsea.
Okay, I love that you are using the physics from the movie Up, but I wanted to be true to the canon lore that you get three lives in Mario Kart. So I'm not going to have more than three balloons. You don't get more than three lives. You see, we're just prioritizing different elements.
I understand.
This week brought us the Saltburn guy and Sabrina Carpenter's relationship announcement, Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter cover reveal, Hilary Duff's fourth pregnancy and her husband's vasectomy, Drew Barrymore's furniture line at Walmart, and Ariana's Eternal Sunshine album. And somehow we've made it to Friday yet again.
Here we are. Two things about that. One, instead of Cowboy Carter, I think the album should have been called Dolly Partition. It's brilliant. Two, did you see that Selena Gomez took Ariana's The Boy Is Mine song and then posted it in her stories with a picture of her boyfriend? Because, like, Selena stole her man as well. But Selena's boyfriend is so ugly. I wouldn't be parading that information down the street.
Well, it's very on brand because why is Ariana trying to claim that the boy is hers?
Yeah, you're right.
It's an anthem for hot girls dating ugly men they've stolen.
Which apparently there's a market for. So I want to talk about the Oscars, which I didn't watch. So it will be a short conversation, in theory.
In theory, and true to form, I'm so glad we're covering the Oscars today, because did I watch? No, I did not. Are we a movie podcast? No, we are not.
No, but we'll find something to say. Probably stories about ourselves. When the Oscars are airing live, I look at the red carpet outfits, obviously. And then, like, every 10 minutes, I check to see who won most recently. So I am caught up with what happened on there. I just didn't see it with my own
eyes. See, I don't care who won, and I don't know who won. I know that Oppenheimer had a big night, but I haven't looked up any of the results because I don't care. Because I like what I like, and so... Who cares about critics when I have what's in my heart?
Yeah, famously, 2024, the best movie of the year is, what, Little Shop of Horrors?
So far. Yeah, okay, or Dracula from the 90s.
It's a tough race. So Jimmy Kimmel was the host of the Oscars, and his jokes didn't make too many enemies, but it wasn't really funny either. And I don't understand, is this a hard job?
Yeah.
You think it is? When I was growing up, and maybe my sense of humor changed, but when I was growing up, I feel like people used to knock it out of the park. They were all so good. And then the past, like, 5 to 10 years, everyone's just a flop. I don't think it's a hard job. You can make us the host of the Oscars, we'd kill it.
Okay, we would kill it. And so, Oscars, if you're listening, we didn't watch this year, but we would watch if we were on it, because we are narcissists. I feel like, oh God, and I'm about to sound like every aging comedian right now, but I do feel like there is a different vibe that goes with hosting, and there is additional pressure because there is always going to be uproar and there is always going to be pushback on the jokes that you make. And so I think there is that added pressure where people play it too safe because they don't want that pushback from Twitter of saying, like, that was inappropriate, you're canceled now, even though, let's be real, nobody ever gets canceled for real. Or they, like, lean into it too much and go too far and they're like, fuck Twitter, I'm gonna say what I want. But I think what's missing is, like, comedians can actually say whatever they want if they're funny enough.
Agreed.
And nobody's ever funny enough.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's not a hard job. We just pick bad people. I think I would write whatever set I wanted and not worry about audience pushback or being too much or not enough. But I would start my set by showing my mangina. And then I would say, well, since I'm canceled already, here's what I want to say. That's good, right?
Yeah, it's honestly not your worst idea. And I feel like you have to give the people you're going to be roasting a heads up. Because I think that's where people go wrong, is when they try to shock and surprise. And it's like, these are all actors who take themselves way too seriously. They are not going to be okay with being the butt of the joke.
Well, that's what Jimmy Kimmel did make a joke about Emma Stone's nudity in this movie, and the camera cut to her, and you could see her, like, talking to whoever was next to her, and she said, he's a prick. And then he also made a joke about Robert Downey Jr. being high, and Robert Downey Jr., like, did this, and Jimmy Kimmel said, is that a reference to drug use, or you want me to wrap it up? And he was like, wrap it up. So, overall, scotch-free. No pushback on the internet, but those two didn't like it.
Lip readers on social media are really having themselves a time lately. This is really their heyday.
I'm not deaf, as people probably assumed, but I fancy myself a pretty good lip reader. That's because I'm nosy, though.
I'm a good lip reader. I actually read lips more than I realize because whenever I don't have my glasses on, Dr. Bald always makes fun of me because if I don't have my glasses or contacts on, I'm like, hold on, wait, I need to find my glasses. I can't hear you. And I don't know why, but if I don't have my glasses on, I cannot hear. And I don't know if it's I'm not focused or I actually do read lips, but I really cannot hear anybody if I don't have my glasses on.
I don't know how to yes and that, so we're going to keep it moving. There was a dog in some movie, so they like did a segment where he was there clapping or whatever. But then a human was underneath him with dog hands making it look like he was clapping. But they were very realistic. I think they were real dog legs.
I love us, Donnie. We've come to talk about the Oscars. Have we talked about one nomination? No, but you are going to get to the bottom of what material were those dog puppet legs.
Well, I just think they were real dog legs. Like, if you go to a taxidermist and you're like, hi, I'd like to order two dog legs.
Oh.
That's what it seemed like. And that's disgusting. The dog's name is Messy.
Messy?
Messy.
Messy?
One time when I worked at the Gum Shrimp Company, there was this person from a different country in a heavy accent that came in and asked where Macy's was, but they said, hi, what?
Show your mangina first, Donnie, before you do this accent work so that the cancellation already happens.
No, because here's the thing about my accent work. This was a white person with an accent, so I can do as good or as bad as I want because I'm just making fun of white people, okay? So anyway, okay. They came in and said, hello, where is Messy? And I pointed to my coworker I didn't like, and I was like, right here.
I love that you knew that that was not the question she was actually asking, but you were going to take that time to drag your coworker.
And I have to repeat, I was a manager. But anyway. I do want to talk about John Cena being naked, but I have nothing else to say about it. I just wanted to make sure we reserved space for it.
Is this a body type you enjoy? If he's going to objectify himself, we're allowed to weigh in.
Here's the thing. The face is fine and the body is great, but like it does nothing for me sexually. Like I was not turned on in the slightest looking at that.
No, I love John Cena. I accidentally became kind of like a John Cena super stan. I started out with Total Bellas. Then I watched him in several movies. Then I learned about all of his charity work. He like holds a record for Make-A-Wish. He does so much work around the world. He's a wonderful man and he's very funny. But the veins in his arms disturb me. They look like little worms. Do you see them? He's so muscular. It's like his veins are begging to escape his body. They're like, there's no more room for us here. It's all muscle.
I don't mind worm veins. Ugh. But there's just something, yeah.
Like, I already have to worry about varicose veins on my legs. I don't want to be looking at that on my screen, you know?
I understand.
I feel like I finally get to weigh in the way men do about women.
Now, I will say, people on Twitter, you know I always talk about them, they are pointing out the hypocrisy of, like, Janet Jackson's Nipplegate and this. Like, what is the difference? And I will not say whether it's right or wrong. It is wrong, and that's my opinion of it. But
I will not say if it's right or wrong. It's wrong.
But you're allowed to see male nipples. Like, you see male nipples on Disney Channel. You see male nipples at the beach. That is just, like, what society tells us is acceptable. So, number one, I think that is the difference. We didn't see his ass cheeks. We didn't see his penis head. We just saw male nipples.
Lots of worm veins.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think 20 years have passed.
Maybe. I think that if you zoom out, the hypocrisy stands. Like,
yes,
the overall hypocrisy of the Free the Nipple movement, yes, that stands. But if you are mad about the fact he can show nipple on the Oscars and Janet Jackson couldn't at the Super Bowl, yes, of course that's a double standard. But society's rules are the things that need to change. And it's an overall reflection of the patriarchy and the double standard that men and women are under. And, you know, if John Cena wants to show that bod, I'm not complaining.
Me neither. Let him. One more thing I want to talk about at the Oscars. Vanessa Hudgens announced that she was pregnant. I screamed.
I loved that reveal, too. I love that sheer dress. We've talked about my unfortunate body shape when I was pregnant. I don't think that I would have been able to pull off the sheer dress, black panties.
You never tried it, though, to be fair.
I never tried. Maybe that would have saved the olive on little toothpick silhouette I was pulling off.
So I do want to go back to John Cena really quick because I posted on my main feed a thing with John Cena holding that sign, but on the sign I made it say, I don't trust the royal family. Mm-hmm. And Instagram told me I had to take it down. Well, it gave me the option. It said, you can take this down or your content will be restricted. And I was like, well, I'm not taking it down. I will not be silenced because I do think it's about the message and not the picture. Because I went to many other pages and they all had him at the Oscars almost naked. So it was about me saying, I don't trust the royal family, which just makes me not trust the royal family.
Yeah, which is a great segue to my topic because we will be talking again about Kate Middleton. These two dumb Americans, look at us go. I went from being afraid to talk about the royals to being afraid but feeling compelled to have to talk about the royals.
It's our civic duty.
Donnie, I feel like that is the most damning evidence of all of this because you never get in trouble for anything. Sometimes you will post things to me, like you will post a comment on my page and I will get in trouble for it from Instagram. Instagram is like, you are their golden child. So for you to get a little slap on the wrist, ooh.
I know.
Yikes. Well, the last time we talked about Kate Middleton, you can go back a couple of TGIFs ago, we talked about her disappearing act, the fact that she hadn't been seen since her abdominal surgery back in late December, early January. There were all of these conspiracy theories. Is she getting a BBL? Is she Banksy? Is she trapped in the walls at Willy Wonka's Experience? But now they have doubled down. So for all the people who thought the conspiracy theories were crazy, I've even seen people being like, fine, I didn't want to care, but now they're making me care.
Yeah.
Because the royal family has done the Barbara Streisand effect, where the more you bring attention to something that you don't want people talking about, the more that they're going to talk about it.
Why did Barbara Streisand do that?
I believe, okay, so this is just me once again. No, I didn't make it up. It is a thing. Okay. Imagine I'm just dragging Barbara Streisand for no reason. I believe, okay, I'm going to have to Google this.
Okay.
So the Streisand effect is an unintended consequence of attempting to hide, remove, or censor information where the effort instead backfires by increasing public awareness of the information. Mm. The effect is named for Barbara Streisand, whose attempt in 2003 to suppress a photographer's publication of a photograph showing her clifftop residence in Malibu, California. Basically, that picture was taken because it was showing the erosion. Barbara Streisand was like, no, that's my house. Take it down. Mm. And then because she made this guy take it down, it became like the most Googled image because then everybody wanted to see this picture of Barbara Streisand's house.
Oh, wow.
So the royals are engaging in the Streisand effect because they clearly don't want us talking about Kate.
Right.
So they keep doing crazy things that make us want to talk about Kate.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it. Over the weekend, Kate used her official account on X, formerly Twitter, to post a picture of her and her three kids with a message to her supporters that said, "Thank you for your kind wishes and continue." Should I do a British accent like Rachel from Vanderpump Rules did? Uh-huh. Oh my God. If you guys have not been following my Rachel Goes Rogue recap, go over to my highlights because Rachel did a Lisa Vanderpump impression for almost the entire episode, and it is the most unhinged thing I've ever witnessed. Anyway, Kate said, "Thank you for your kind wishes and continued support over the last 2 months. Wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day. C." Which I always feel like signing anything with just a letter is ominous.
But her name doesn't... What's that for?
Catherine. Her name starts with C.
But she spells Kate with a K?
Yeah.
Idiot!
That's the real story here.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I want to highlight one more thing about this picture. Number one, it's a really cute picture. It could also be on the front of a brochure advertising The Purge. Big open mouth smiles by all involved. But also, I want to point out that at the bottom of this picture, there's the little picture emoji, and it credits Prince William taking the photo. And it also said, like, March 2024. So they're telling us this picture was taken this month and that Prince William took the photo. Mm-hmm. That's important for later. So then that goes out. Everybody's like, "Oh, look, she's well," whatever. There was a kill notification that went out to these publications that had reprinted this picture. And this kill notification said, "Clients, please be advised that the following story has been killed and should no longer be used." And their reasoning was that it had been altered. So then when this got leaked to everybody, basically they were like, "What does this mean that they're telling people don't use this image? It's not real." Which then led to Kate releasing a retraction where she basically gave like a housewife's apology. It should have been right from a notes app to the Instagram story. And she says, "Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I want to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See." So she's saying, "Oh, sorry, oopsie kitty, I was using Facetune and I got a little carried away." What are your thoughts, Donnie?
I don't know if I can be funny, Chelsea. I've went into the conspiracy theory avenue so far that all of my thoughts are dark now. Like, it is not cute. It is not like, "Oh, people online with tinfoil hats, I have a tinfoil tuxedo on." Something is very clearly up, and the more they do weird shit like this, and then, like, there was another picture of her in a car, but she wasn't facing the side where the paparazzi were, so it's just a woman with brown hair. I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, and this is the problem. So maybe our listeners and viewers are going to see the descent into madness in real time, because we joked about this a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. We talked about how both of us, yes, conspiracy theories are silly, ha-ha, fun time, until they're not, until you're storming the Capitol, until you're not vaccinating your children, until you're believing that people have been replaced with lizard people, which I've learned is rooted in anti-Semitism. So I'm not making lizard people jokes anymore, people. Okay. Just clearing that up. But I am concerned. Number one, okay, let's take away all the darkness. Okay. Let's pretend she got a BBL and she's just resting that little behind before she walks the runway or does a Skims campaign with Kim Kardashian. Let's live in that world for a moment. The fact that they're still throwing her under the bus for Photoshop when Prince William took that photo is so rude.
Agreed. And like, she has a social media team for everything. And now all of a sudden she's the one that's just dabbling with Facetune.
I love the idea that me and Princess Kate had the same hobby. Like back in 2020 during the pandemic, when I was Photoshopping Carter from Vanderpump Rules head onto everything, I love that Kate could also be at home being like, ooh, let's just try out this blur filter a little bit. But now people, of course, because people are amazing, if we could all just channel our energy, I really do think we could solve some shit, because Instagram investigators have gone to town and people are doing full-on breakdowns of like what has been Photoshopped. They've done that like reverse image thing where it looks like all of the people were pulled from different pictures. One person compared it with her Vanity Fair cover. Her face is the exact same. On that.
Now, I will say, I saw that on Twitter as well, and people that are anti-conspiracy theory are like, oh, imagine that, her face looking the same as her face. So I do understand why people are laughing at people like me and us, apparently. But I just don't trust it.
Anti-conspiracy theory people are also called sane, normal, rational people, but just want to acknowledge that. So it's hard because it's like, on one hand, people are saying maybe she had like a really big medical procedure that's just taking longer to recover from. And so it sucks that this is the society that we live in where she's not able to rest in peace. Ooh, Freudian slip there. That she's not able to recover in peace. But also, them doing shit like this isn't helping. Like, this isn't making us want to give her her privacy, because things like Britney Spears existed, where it's like, is the letter C for Catherine or is it C for cry for help? Right. Somebody said it was C for Camilla's holding me hostage in this basement. Get me out.
She was starting to write, come get me, and then someone slapped the keyboard out of her hand.
But I do really quick want to talk about just Photoshopping in general, because I had this wild experience at my cousin's wedding over the summer where this girl that I know, but I haven't seen in a while, she's friends with my cousin, so I've seen her like in passing throughout the years, but I follow her on Instagram. Her pictures are gorgeous, and like she looks like she could be an Instagram model. And I saw her in real life, and I had this like shocking revelation. She just Photoshops the shit out of herself. So my response when I saw her was like an immediate like, oh, like not to her face, but like my first thought was like, oh, she Photoshops herself. Have you ever met somebody like this? Because I feel like for me, I do the opposite. I like to surprise people. I like to set the precedent that I am going to look like a dehydrated toad, because then when I turn it out, when I show up at that wedding, when I have a lash on and a dress that isn't a size extra, extra large, people are like, huh. Look at that. She's not a troll.
Yeah. I did it for myself because I was very heavily into filters for a long time, where it started to trick me. And I was like, why don't I look like that? Because it's a filter. So I had to stop using filters. Now I'm a hashtag no filter boy. However, to answer your question, and you set me up, you don't like to be mean, and yet you ask me questions directly. We recorded with someone like that once.
I don't know who. Don't say their name, Donnie.
I'm not going to, but you do know who. Oh, I can chat it.
Okay, well.
You asked me!
I should have known. I would just encourage everybody. I know we all want to look and feel our best, but I would encourage people a couple things. Number one is, when you see an influencer talking to their stories, always click on the filter that they're using on Instagram, because you can do that. That always makes me feel better. When I'm following a gorgeous influencer and I see their flawless skin, I'll click on that filter and I'll put it on myself and I'll see how I look. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that influencer is gorgeous, but also I look like a Victoria's Secret model now. So clearly, okay, I'm feeling better, right? We're all on the same playing field now. But number two, if you Photoshop, you know, you do you. But just know that if you reach a certain point, if you're reaching Gretchen Rossi, Voldemort, no nose, if you've reached the point of no return like her, the first thing that people are thinking when they see you in real life is, oh, they're not as pretty as I thought they were. And I think that you should really follow my method. Keep the bar low. Make them feel like, wow, she's really let herself go. She doesn't give a shit. So then when you turn up to that family gathering, people say, huh, look at you. Wow, amazing, gorgeous. And they mean it.
That explains this wig.
Make them make comments about how you look like you were found in a ditch. So then when you see them in real life in a couple weeks, they say, wow, stunning, gorgeous. Can't believe it. That's all I have to say about Princess Kate. I hope she's okay.
This is dark. You might have to take this off YouTube. Someone messaged me and said, I am so devastated to hear about her car accident next week. Anyway, moving on. What headlines we've covered. Do you want to talk about the cutie of the week?
Sure. My cutie of the week is Sheree from Traitors, because the finale happened and I am so proud of her. She finally figured out what show she was on just in time to be killed.
Now, here's the thing about all of the Bravo ladies, including Sheree, including MJ. I think that some of them did have a handle on the game. However, I think that they thought their alliance was stronger than that and it would take them to the end.
Do you feel like they thought that they were playing everybody and they didn't realize, like, oh no, the gamers are gonna game?
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think they thought about Trishelle and CT in that way.
Yeah, they thought like, oh well, we've got our alliance and they're lucky that we're bringing them along.
Yes, and I know that MJ and Twitter on MJ's behalf are up in arms about what Trishelle and CT did by turning on her, even though they knew she was a faithful, whatever. But if the numbers were reversed and it was Sheree and MJ and Trishelle, I have no doubt that they would have done it to her.
I don't think MJ would have.
Really?
I think because of how MJ is and knowing her on Shaw's, like the funny part about MJ not seeing this coming, and I did feel for her because she did have real life shocked Pikachu face when that fire turned red. But the thing about MJ is she shouldn't have been surprised because she has had this happen to her quite literally every single season of Shaw's Sunset, and they weren't even playing a game. Like she's been backstabbed by Reza for 30 years. True. So, I mean, I understand why she was upset, but this really was a clashing of the titans in terms of fandoms, because Bravo fans are up in arms. They're saying like there should be a precedent set where
if
faithfuls at the end around that fire vote out a faithful, there's a punishment for it. I get that it's upsetting, and I do understand you're allowed to be pissed and you're allowed to take it personally. God knows, like Johnny Bananas takes it personally. Uh-huh. You're allowed to take the game seriously and you're allowed to take it personally, but it's a game. And if you make the game so that people are punished for not playing the game, it's going to be the world's most boring fire circle every season, because faithfuls are going to be playing it safe, which is then also going to give traitors an upper hand because that's their last chance to get out of traitor.
I think it was poetic. The show is called Traitors and the faithfuls became traitors in the end. I thought it was beautiful.
I was on the edge of my seat. I thought it was amazing television.
Thrilling television. My cutie is Neve Campbell, because she is returning to Scream 7. And Kevin Williamson is also returning. So he wrote the first, second, and fourth one, the best three in the franchise. And he also wrote and directed Teaching Mrs. Tingle and I Know What You Did Last Summer. So 90s horror is coming back in Scream 7.
And The Faculty, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was involved in The Faculty, too.
And Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
Me too.
You and Dr. Bald were two of the most dramatic people I've ever experienced watching that last, or two Scream movies ago.
Oh, it was fucking awful.
I remember watching it, and I think that's when Dr. Bald got your number, or started following you on Instagram or something, because he was complaining, and I was like, I'm enjoying it. And he's like, I need to talk to a real Scream fan, because he was so mad. He said, wow, I've never been rooting for Ghostface before. So hopefully, lucky number 7. What's in the box?
I have faith. I have faith. And that is the end of our Friday. So, one more reminder about our YouTube channel. I Am the Cute One podcast is available on Google to search for, or you can just go to the show notes and look there. And then on Monday, we will be covering Troop Beverly Hills for its 35th anniversary.
Wonderful. Yeah. So stay tuned if I liked it or not. Buckle
and we
up.
Will talk to you later. Love you like a sister.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donnywood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.